You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along. This is Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and this is an emergency pod. It's been a while, but we're back from Yerevan, back from Armenia, and to quote, I suppose, Stewie Byrne, Gary, we're angry.
We're very angry. Probably need some time to compose ourselves after this one.
Very good.
It's bleak, to say the least. But yeah, I think, I know we were talking about an emergency pod going back to the hotel the other night, and didn't know if we'd do one, but I think it's good to get it off our chest, maybe.
Yeah, because when we were traveling back, I kind of said to you, this isn't going to hit really until we wake up in our own beds back in Ireland. And we've woke up and I am fucking angry.
Yeah, same.
You asked me before we started recording there, are you more disappointed or more angry? I'm fuming.
Yeah, I'm absolutely gutted in one sense, but I am quite angry. You know, we went over there with a lot of hope, particularly with the way that the fixtures had fallen with regard to the group. We were kind of like, okay, get off to a decent start, which would have been 4 points, which would have been decent, but that's all it would have been, because we knew what we had to do before a ball was kicked. We knew it when the draw was made. And while it is mathematically possible, I don't really see it being a probability that we'll get any further out of this group.
We'd do well to get another point in this group.
I wouldn't just go that far yet, but I do see what you're saying. We still have Portugal to play twice, so...
Yeah, so we have two bettings to take off Portugal. We'll lose in Budapest, and Armenia should have bet a 6-1 the other night.
Yeah. No, that... When you put it like that.
Talk of Mkhitaryan coming out of retirement now for the Dublin game, because they've given themselves a chance by beating us. So the biggest issue for me is the fact that the players look like they totally give up on Tuesday. And we'll get to Heimir Hallgrímsson shortly. And for me, he's an absolute bluffer. And he should have never been appointed. But it doesn't matter who's in charge on the sideline. You put on a jersey for a club, but particularly for country. You run around. You try hard. The players didn't do that on Tuesday. They totally give up. That's unacceptable.
It is very unacceptable. I think, will we start with Tuesday or Saturday?
Up to you.
I think...
Start with Saturday, actually, because the first goal we concede, you wouldn't see a child's team concede that first goal.
Yeah, it was completely unacceptable level of defending. Like, I thought the carelessness and the lack of intensity to begin with. Like, obviously I've never played the game at a high level or any level worth noting, but when you think about how we were feeling as fans all week last week, you know, buzzing, we were talking about the videos that the FAI had put out and Heimer had put out, you know, the time for development is over, Stuck the boot into Stephen Kenny in that video. And now the time for delivery is here, or whatever the quote was, but that was the essence of it. And we have now, you know, within what, 3 minutes into the game, 1-0 down and looking kind of bereft of ideas and really settled back into everything that we do has to go through the goalkeeper or the back line of some description. And kind of really unacceptable level to start with heading into a World Cup campaign that we could have done quite well in, I believe. The second goal goes in, you know, we look at...
Hang on, stick with that first goal.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. That first goal. Matt Doherty, the most unlike player in the history of the Irish team, in my opinion.
He's up there, all right.
He's probably still, out of all the 11, he's probably one of the most talented players if he wanted to put the effort in. But he doesn't. He goes around with a chip on his shoulder. His attitude is shocking. He heads the ball out and then he walks out of the defence and plays everybody onside.
Yeah, yeah.
But then for O'Shea to gamble He doesn't know what's behind him. He puts his arms up and lets the ball run through.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Yeah, no, like particularly, you know, Ethan says it all the time, particularly when it comes to Longford Town. You know, the first 10 minutes of either half, no bullshit, lads, boot it away.
Yeah.
Don't get done like this. And Longford Town are quite fond of it. But to see, you know, the biggest game, and like, you know, I know there's a lot of players that were part of, like, because significant parts of Stephen Kenny's squads. But this was like an opportunity for a clean slate, a new beginning, a new dawn, whatever poetry you want to use. All the stuff that went behind, like, was gone. You know, shit results under Stephen Kenny, poor performances. This was an opportunity to reestablish yourself under a new manager, under a new regime. And within 2 minutes of that, that was all put to bed. That was all, you know, done away with. The back to the same shite that we've looked at for so long. And I look at the stuff with Matt Doherty not coming out, the carelessness. Like, he got to the header and he headed it away into more danger.
Yeah, shite header.
So he just, like, admired his work. Well, I've done a beautiful bit of work there, defended the ball, and then went to sleep immediately, which is kind of insane when you think about it within 2 minutes of kickoff.
Yeah.
I know Nathan Collins tried to recover the situation. Maybe Kelleher could have been a bit quicker off his line to, you know, spot the danger a bit earlier, but it kind of happened so quickly, I wouldn't be too harsh on him. Probably the greatest ever player to play for Ireland in an Ireland shirt at the moment. I can't think of anybody that I'm missing in the last 5 years or so. Ireland kind of slowly recovered in that, and then a total brain fog of a situation where, and I've happily blame Matt Doherty for the second goal on Saturday that we conceded. Instead of, and I'd also heavily blame Nathan Collins. If you look back on it, the ball kind of bounces between the two of them. But Matt Doherty doesn't go, I'm running back towards my own end line. You have to step up and boot this away. Nathan Collins steps off, looks for Matt Doherty to do a pirouette and try and clear it off. It goes out for a corner eventually, and then Ireland concede from that corner. And then you're thinking, Jesus, lads, 2-0 down at half time, 2-0 down after 15 minutes. And no idea of a recovery situation going on. No, like, right, boys, this is going south quick. Very, very, very quick, like epically quick. And no feeling of like, right, boys, we are all hands to the pump here. We have to absolutely kill ourselves to get us out of this. Halftime comes along and the FEI decide that it's a good time to sing Dirty Old Town. Right? Like, I tweeted about it. I just couldn't believe that there wasn't anybody, any human being associated with the FEI that could have went, right, lad, we might park this shite now for a minute. We're 2-0 down in the World Cup, first World Cup qualifier at home at a packed out stadium. I saw a poster that the FAI were happy to put out about how it was the highest attended round qualifier in Europe. And that's something that we'd be proud of. But that, and just on that, that shows the level of belief and desire from the Irish footballing public that could go to that you know, filled out the stadium.
I look forward to their tweet for the Armenia game at home.
I don't look forward to anything really anymore.
Doing well to get 20,000 in the ground for that game.
Yeah, absolutely, and that'll also mess up the points, the stupid point system that they have for, you know, diehard fans that, you know, might want to travel to see Armenia bait the piss out of us on a Tuesday night. But I just thought, like, that's a real, I thought that, you know, if you just take that in isolation, 2-0 down at home, World Cup qualifiers is kind of slipping away, and there's a loud bit of guitar out on the pitch, and you just go, geez, the FEI, like, they really don't know. Like, they actually haven't a clue. And what's more, like, I know it's not his place, but maybe your man, whoever he was with the guitar, was like, oh, fuck this. I might not do this myself as an Irish man, as an Irish fan. I might park the strumming for a minute and go, this is not good. But I thought it was a very interesting, you know, mindset example of where the where the FAI are at. But, you know, start the second half, get the goal back, the man being sent off as well, which I can see why he was sent off. I thought it was a bit soft, but he did go for O'Shea and he did catch him high up on the leg. So I thought it was a good call by the ref when I saw it back in particular. But then, you know, all these crosses came in. Jacob Ryan seems to be our best crosser. The only problem is he's 6'6 or 6'7, so he's not in the box to head somebody's into the net.
He's also taking long throw-ins or fake long throw-ins.
Well, they are long enough, but like,
come out of it.
But like, you know, he needs to be the lad under them. Like, I don't understand how.
Sorry, but we've talked about this on the pod in a previous window where Matt Doherty was the lad taking the long throw-in. Couldn't get it over the first man. Before that, I remember you saying we might as well have Dean O'Shea from Longford doing them as Dara O'Shea. It's like every fucking camp we go into, they spend the whole day, right, lad, who reckons to have a long throw here?
Yeah.
And none of them have a long throw. It's literally all we did for the two games was try and horse long throws into the box and we never won one.
Never won one. No,
what are we doing on the training ground?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Like you look at, like, do they even practice these throw-ins? Like, it's like every one that was thrown into the box, an Armenian player won it and a Hungarian player.
And we never won the second.
Never won the second. We're next or near winning the second. So like, and then even, you know, there was one there.
So you have to run to win a second ball.
Oh, that's a fair point. But even like, even there on Tuesday, and I'm not mixing up the two, but like, just when we mentioned the long throw-ins, there was one that did end up going to Ogbeni at the back. And then he headed it out. It was further away than the 6-yard line.
Yeah.
He just headed it out as if he was clearing it.
He didn't know where he was on the pitch.
Didn't have a clue where he was. Didn't have any understanding about who was around him. Never mind where he was. So he couldn't make he made the worst decision possible. Catching it would have been a better decision than what he did. So I don't understand the long throw stuff. I thought some of the crossing was quite good, but like, you know, 40 odd crosses the other night.
Some of them were more like clearances.
Some of them were shite. Yes,
some of them were desperate.
Yeah, but to be fair, if you look back when Edie came on, he actually made the cleverest run that an Ireland player has made in the last week, which was he lost his man in the box and ended up having a free header.
Yeah.
I thought the keeper could have maybe come out for that, but it was, you know, loopy enough from Manning, who will come on to again. But I thought, you know, it was generally okay. It was a get out of jail on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was quite annoyed after that because I felt like I was sold a pup by the team, if that makes sense. Everything was on about what we're going to do, how we're going to dominate, how we're ready. The development is over. Here's the team. Here's our boys. These are the boys that are going to lead us somewhere. And if it came down to it, you know, in 6 or 7 months' time, whatever matches, we lose a playoff. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with, you know, maybe losing out on a point, you know, what we saw with Portugal a couple of years ago, Ronaldo with the double at the end, you know.
I'm okay losing.
Yeah.
I'm well used to it. I'm a Longford Town fan and an Ireland fan. I am well used to losing. I can accept losing. I cannot accept what I seen Tuesday night, and I will never accept it.
Well, just before we come on,
right?
How did you feel coming out after on Saturday?
I felt a huge missed opportunity. Even I know the 50,000 people there, the emotion of it all. Ida scores, and he's, you know, and he's sliding. I seem to be the only one in the ground that was roaring, "Get back to the feckin' halfway line! Go for the winner!"
Yeah,
it took Collins a few minutes to run over there and tell them that and grab them back to the half. But I did feel like it was a missed chance to win the game. Now, I think if the Hungarians were sick, and I think if they had it back when they were 2-0 up, they should have put their foot to our throat and killed us off. Because
they did have a few opportunities to do that.
They did. The header, the free header, I don't know how he doesn't score. But as soon as they went 1-0 up, you watch Szoboszlai. He basically dropped into the centre half position and just fiddled around with the ball there all evening. They were time wasting. They were diving, rolling around, running the clock down. We were such a shambles in that first half. They should have been going in 3 or 4 up at halftime. They should have put the foot to the gas.
They should have, absolutely. They should have killed the stone dead.
Yeah.
And we were bailed out by the red card, I feel. But even when you look at it, like,
the first goal we get back, the keeper makes an absolute hames of it.
No, oh, it makes a total bollocks.
He made a great save later. Was it Manning or someone that got a header?
I can't remember who got the header.
It was a good save.
It was an okay save. It was a save that you'd expect an adult keeper to make.
Yeah.
It was a foot to the right of him. He made a save. Like, if I let that in 5-a-side, it'd be a night.
Mm.
So I don't, you know, this wasn't like, you know, Collins against France a couple of years ago, right into the top corner, and the keeper is like Spider-Man going across. Mm. That wasn't like that. That was a decent chance.
Yeah.
Ireland didn't work the keeper enough in the second half, I feel. There wasn't enough shots. We're kind of getting into a situation where Ireland don't know how to score unless it's bundled in.
Yeah.
I have to go back to Obafemi against Scotland. You know, that really good goal for Parrott in the same game, you know, the little header. You know, I can't remember, maybe Brady against Finland last year, where the goal is, you know, rifled into the net for the winner. Definitely some shit like that. But it seems to be a lot of we have to put man, ball and everything across the line to get it done. And, but so that was Thursday, or that was Saturday. I was very annoyed about it. I came back to the gaff and I was just sitting around and going,
You said it was fucked before we flew to Armenia. You said I did
because, and I'll tell you why. I felt that the pressure that Saturday put on, like, by all intents and purposes, Saturday was a complete and entire failure from the Irish team, because their whole mindset was, we're going to go out, we're going to win our first two games. As I said before, the time for development is over. The players have been blooded. We've got these boys in. Kenny gave 300,000 debuts to players, and now we've all this to choose from, and blah, 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 blah. So that's all said and done. Now Heimer's taking us on. We're graduating up to a team that can qualify for something. And what has transpired is, after the game on Saturday, I think there was an untold level of fear put onto the players, because they had set it up to such an extent on Saturday and they didn't do it. I don't care what anybody says, Saturday was an entire failure. Any team, you know, even I think about it recently, Longford Town played Cove in Bishopsgate there 6 weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was. And Longford Town were outplayed in that game. But one cross into the box in the 92nd minute was headed into the back of the net, probably Longford Town's only real chance of the game. You know, similar with Ireland, Longford Town pulled it out with a fire in the last second. That's no good when you're in what's almost a knockout competition. You know, these six games, like, that's no good when we're essentially in a knockout competition right now. The World Cup is in the future, but we have six games to get as many points as possible to qualify. At least we're a playoff. And I think that was the aim from the start. But to start off with pulling it out of the fire in the last second through Adam Eda's head is great and super. But that's still a failure in my book. And I was so frustrated and annoyed after the game on Saturday, particularly with the buzz around the place, as we talked about already. It was just bouncing.
Yeah.
And then to come out and be 2-0 down after 15 minutes and be bailed out by the ref, through a stupid decision by the Hungarian player, whoever it was. It was just, you know, okay, we got through it, but we're not. This is a bad start to the game, or a bad start to the campaign. I suppose then we need to come on to Tuesday. What do you think? Go on, I'll let you. I've been speaking for a while. Go on there.
Tuesday, it was so slow. And the first half Saturday, I haven't seen much of the TV coverage because we were at both games, but I seen a bit there, sadly, or from Saturday. and he was going on about just how slow it is, how slow and pedestrian it is. And we tried under Kenny to, you know, embed this new style of play, and it didn't work, right? And we all thought Heimer was coming in now, and we were going to go back to put him under pressure, put it in the mixer. Let's make something happen. Let's use what we're good at.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that the couple of years we've had of trying to change things, we've completely lost our identity. We've completely lost the Irishness, the hardiness out of the team. Tipping around the back. Keller having more touches than anyone else. We've become so bad on the ball, we can't even manufacture a situation to get across into the box.
Yeah. Like it was... From the first half on Saturday, it seemed like the second half was a dream that never really occurred.
Mm.
The passing around the box on Tuesday, or not passing around the box, the passing around the defence.
Oh, no, you're right as well. Passing around the box, right? On an absolutely horrific pitch.
Yeah, that was horrific cutting up like pitch. Hell. Yeah,
cutting up like hell. And we're tipping around the penalty area. And the penalty we give away, I don't care. Boys going on around me, that was never a penalty. We put in for that. What the hell was Manning doing inside the area trying to nutmeg a lad inside the 18-yard box?
And not only,
a minute to go till halftime.
Yeah, no, not the stupid lads. Don't shoot yourselves in the foot. But Manning, I thought, was dire on Tuesday. He... managed, like, if you look back at that penalty incident, and it was a penalty, which is actually irrelevant, really. We deserve
to concede. I don't care. I haven't watched it back. I don't even care whether it was or it wasn't.
Yeah, well, I watched the whole thing yesterday when I got back.
You need help.
Yeah. I thought Manning was deplorable. The pricking that he was at, but then to jog back to try and block the cross, he doesn't even attempt. It doesn't even cross his mind that I'm after making a hames of this, and I need to try and recover the situation. He just watches the cross go in, and he could have made that tack, or he could have made that block, or he could have made it difficult for the Armenian lad to cross it in. He did absolutely nothing to prevent that goal. I thought. Collins was unlucky, and I know we'll come on to him now shortly. He was unlucky. He did try and make the challenge.
Had bailed us out before that. There was another, I can't remember how it even occurred, but there was a shambles in the box.
Well, I'll tell you how it occurred because I watched it.
Right, go on.
A ball from deep is played through. So it's a true ball. The Armenian attacker, whoever he was straight in on the back onto Kelleher. Darragh O'Shea comes across and kind of hustles him out to the left. And unfortunately slips. And then it's like, Jesus Christ, you know, everybody's running back. The ball is played back. Collins does make a good block.
Unbelievable block, yeah.
But what else was he going to do? Like, it wasn't a sensational block. He just threw himself at the ball. Like, it wasn't as if, you know, he didn't cover 10 yards to make the block. Does what he's supposed to do. Kelleher mops it up. Ball spills out and the Armenian lad crashes it off the crossbar. Now, if that wasn't the biggest fright of your life in an Ireland jersey, I don't know what is. How the net, you know, shit, these boys can actually cause us problems here. The reaction to that was non-existent. It was like, this couldn't possibly happen again to us, was the reaction.
Yeah.
The cross comes in after Manning does absolutely nothing to prevent it. Penalty is given away, and we go in 1-0 down at halftime. And what that does is it gets... bear in mind, this is a team that got the snot kicked out of them on Saturday against Portugal.
Hmm.
There was a concern, apparently, that there'd be no one going to the game from the Armenian side, that the tickets were bought, but no one would actually go. And when they must have went in 1-0 at halftime, they must have been absolutely buzzing, because not only were they 1-0 up, they were like, these are shite.
Yeah.
We have nothing to fear with these lads. These lads have six captains in the Premier League, or whatever other yarn that we've heard over the past couple of weeks. There was absolutely nothing to fear. And I know I'm not the only person saying this, but this the halftime must have been absolutely a sensational place to be if you're an Armenian player, because you knew that you could get at these. You knew that you're going to create chances yourself. Lads that have never even had a shot in an Armenian jersey were getting in on the action. And they knew that no matter who you were, you would get a chance against Ireland. A second half comes, and I was expecting a similar reaction to Saturday.
Yeah,
Jack Taylor was taken off, who I thought was shite watching him live in the stadium. But actually, I didn't think he was that bad when I watched it back.
No, I thought he was deplorable, been there.
Yeah, no, I don't fully disagree with that, but I didn't think he was as bad.
We can say that about most of the team.
Yeah. Ogbeni probably was gassed and wasn't able to keep going. Players come on, Ida and Casey McAteer. McAteer didn't really offer anything. He was terrible. Yeah, he was dire.
Don't understand why Mikey Johnson didn't come on there.
Yeah, nor do I. I really don't understand that. But it just went from bad to worse. It really went from bad to worse. The second goal was really good, well taken goal. We created we didn't create the colour of chances that they created. Like we weren't next or near them. But I suppose now we have to come on to like the individuals and the positions.
Yeah.
Josh Cullen, I don't think I want to see him in an Ireland jersey for the next, 5 to 6 years, which will probably age him out of the conversation. He's not able for it in an Ireland jersey. I don't think my mind can be moved on that, to be quite honest. His negativity on the ball is unbelievable. I watched a couple of players when I watched it back. His desire to kick it backwards is something that I've never, ever seen before.
Well, I seen it on Saturday from another player, and I'm going to go back to him. Saturday. Matt Doherty. Did he make one forward pass in the first half? So is this an individual thing, or has this been ingrained into the players over the last number of years?
I think we could probably go into the whole coaching badges bullshit. But I think
But you're spot on Cullen, by the way. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, no, he was absolutely disgraceful. There's no question in my mind that he shouldn't have played. He should have been hooked after halftime, to be quite honest.
It's the problem, though, and Fitzy always says it as well. Cullen, Knight, Malumbi, whoever you put in there, and I don't know why Malumbi's been excluded, by the way, but at the end of the day, the middle two or three that we have, you could swap them around and switch them. They're all of a very similar level.
Shite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is he at least with Malumbi, right? I find Malumbi is probably a bit rawer than Knight or Cullen. But I find Malumbi will break a few lads up.
Mm.
Whereas Cullen, he gave away a foul for pulling a lad's arm.
Aye, no good.
No good. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't one instance throughout the whole game until Evan Ferguson crashed into the keeper in the 93rd minute to say that the Armenian players were in a game.
No.
It was like...
That goalkeeper, he was like a lad on work placement. He was horrific. He couldn't kick it out of his way. And we never pressed him once until Ferguson clattered into him in the 96th minute.
Yeah. Like
This is what I'm talking about, desire. And running and getting through the yards. It's not there.
But even before we get to that... Stick with the players, right? We'll come on to that chapter next.
Yeah, got through the hit list here.
I find that he sucks everything positive that anybody else is trying to do. He's a black hole. He's a black hole for getting deep into negativity, and possession is everything.
Yeah.
Possession is not everything. That's actually the least thing that we should be concerned about. It doesn't matter if we have 10% of the ball, but we score 3 goals and keep the other team from scoring 2 or less. That's the name of the game here. This idea that we must have possession, let's recycle it around the place all the time. Yeah. Everybody needs to get
sacrificing,
touch.
We're sacrificing intensity over possession.
Yes, absolutely.
All about possession. Don't worry about the intensity. Don't worry about territorial, spending any time in their final third, about putting them under pressure, turning them, winning set pieces. Don't worry about any of that. Worry about keeping the ball in the back line.
Exactly. And the idea, and what that is actually, and I know we'll come on to other individuals and stuff as well, but what it actually turned into was, I'm finding now, and I was talking to Max about it after the game, where the players, they're actually incapable of passing now. We've often said, like, we'll say, you know, as the lower down you go, like, the second touch is a tackle.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
You know, none of the players could make a good... The only time a player made a pass that another player could actually run on to or take with one touch was when it was played backwards and nobody was under pressure. The idea that, like, you know, I think actually Jack Taylor did it at one point. He got the ball and did a Cruyff turn on receiving the ball. I was able to pass it onward up to Ogbeni. That probably broke your man's brain, that the Armenian player's brain. He'd probably never seen that like that before until he played Portugal on Saturday. But like that was so few and far between that no player was trying to do anything that could come off. There's plenty of bullshit and flicks and shit like that that had never ever come off.
Yeah.
So like, but there was something like, well, I can do a Cruyff turn. I can, like, you know, give a lad the hips and send him the wrong way and move myself into space. But like, there was a times there in the first half, even before we conceded, that, like, you know, it was easier to pass to a lad standing 10 yards further back rather than me try and do this fella and get ahead, get at the back four, get at the keeper. It was totally bizarre. But I think, you know, pointing out Cullen, I thought Knight was fairly inconsequential throughout the game.
I didn't know he was on the pitch.
Yeah, very, very nothing performance. Manning was dog shit.
Azaz stunk the house out.
I'd be less critical of him. He was having a bad night. He should have been taken off at halftime.
Yeah, I thought he played well Saturday. I was impressed on Saturday. He was horrific the other night.
Yeah, but that's where the manager needs to go. Right, this ain't working.
Yeah.
We've only 1 point where we should have three. We need to get 3 points here. We're 1-0 down. Get him out.
Yeah.
Then there was Dar O'Shea. No worse or better than anybody else. But Nathan Collins. I said it on Saturday. I said it again many times on Tuesday. I've been thinking about it. He's not our captain.
No.
He's not capable of being a captain for Ireland. We'll say even to small things, like he was never in the ref's ear on Saturday about the time wasting that was going on. He should have been like, you know, and I'm not, I am, we have to win stuff. you have to be planting the ideas in the ref's head. If the ref has been hearing that this keeper has been slowing the game down in the first half, well then, and he was already on a yellow, that keeper.
Yeah.
He got a yellow on Saturday for time wasting. Why was Collins not in the referee's brain going, what's going on? Why is this taking so long? Time, wasting time. What's going on? Fix it. Should have been a second warning given out to that keeper. And Collins at it again would have got him sent off. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what a captain should be doing. We've got the decision now where only a captain can talk to the referee. That's fine. Then Collins needs to be doing it. He was absolutely... I can't even think of a word for how poor he was on Saturday. Or sorry, Tuesday.
I don't want to cut across your point on Collins here, right?
But go on.
Tuesday was very evident because it's a smaller stadium where we're a bit closer to the action or whatever compared to being, you know, up in the 50 or the Aviva or whatever. But the team plays on mute. There is no talking. There is no communication.
No.
You mentioned Taylor. There was one stage in the first half. And again, I don't know that the boys think they were playing football on the beach or something. All the flicking it over the shoulder. Flick, out of play. Jack Taylor flicked one over his shoulder, straight out of play for a goal kick. There wasn't one player in a green jersey or in a white jersey the other night, within 10 yards of him, getting stuck into him over that. That was completely unacceptable to do that, to flick the ball over your shoulder, straight out of play for a goal kick, when he could have took it in, took it down and done something with it. There was nobody onto him. Nobody digging. And I know that's the way modern football's going, that everyone's soft and you can't get stuck into a lad. But Jesus Christ, we play on mute for 90 minutes.
We certainly do. And I know what you're saying, like, we can't get stuck into players. It's like... In a sense, it's like we want to win more. The fans and the public want to win more than the players.
Mm.
Because if a lad's getting sour or soft over you know, getting stuck into, well, then give a bit back to him. Tell the lad that's give, you know, if Jack Taylor was like that, I thought that was the right thing to do. Then you abuse the lad back.
Yeah.
You go back to Collins or whoever's giving you jip and go, say whatever you want, but give it back to your man.
Because, like, I watched, obviously, a lot of Dundalk this season, right? Right. Ed Irvine's gone in there as the vice-captain. Daryl Horgan's the captain, right? And Horgan doesn't go for the whole shouty captain approach. He kind of leads by example. You know, he's the experienced lad and he's a bit of magic about him. Irvine, like, has had no career compared to Daryl Horgan. I've seen Irvine digging Daryl Horgan out over stuff on the pitch. I've seen him digging out Keith Ward. I've seen him digging out the more experienced players. And as you said, if they think he's wrong, they'll give a bit back.
Yeah.
Like, there's none of that within the Ireland team.
No, and like, whatever about, like, we'll say, Ed Irvine would be like that if they're 50 points ahead in the league. He cannot stand losing. I'm not saying he's anything to... yeah, but like, this is the World Cup.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the pinnacle of the game. There's lads bitching and moaning about, another international break next month. If you're thinking like that, you don't like football. You have no concept of football. The national game or the international game is the pinnacle of the sport. This is it. This is why, I couldn't give a shit.
Do you think the players see it like that? Honest question, though. Do you think the players in the squad see going out to Armenia as the pinnacle and this is, you know, a huge honour? Or do some of them see it as a Jesus Christ, do I have to go out here?
I find it hard to see that, to be quite honest. I find that hard to... I hard to find evidence that they see it as even on par with the club game.
Yeah, because I think that's the most damning indictment of this current team. Like, we were in the away end on Tuesday with people that are at much lower. We're at about 10 years going home and away, like we are. There's people there at much, much longer than us and have been to way more games than us and probably have seen worse results, although not too many worse than Tuesday. And they were saying, did the players just not give a shite or what? That is the biggest indictment that they could possibly put on those players.
Yeah, no, completely. Like, it's very strange to see what we can only understand as a lack of care, lack of desire, mm-hmm. lack of heart, lack of metal. Because you're looking around and there's no one dying to win the 3 points, as Neil Warnock said. There's no one dying. Like, I'd say the players have gone back to their squads now, getting ready for Saturday, getting on a bus down to, you know, going from Brentford to Chelsea or wherever. You know, oh, this is it. This is what, you know, the headphones on and their little wash bags and boot bags and their watches and all that shit. But what they'll be doing next summer is watching the World Cup, watching all their pals in their club games or club teams going off, getting ready. Jeez, I can't wait now to be going to America, beating massive stadiums, you know, shiting on about Trump and all the rest of it. And they're watching it on RTE2 in Ireland or wherever they go on holidays to. And, you know, maybe somebody will go to countries that have a team. Maybe somebody will go on holiday to Cape Verde and watch how their country has almost qualified for the World Cup. So let's say they have qualified and their country is totally immersed in World Cup fever. And I was too young I wasn't born in Italia 90, but the way my mother and father go on about it, who couldn't get, like, if David Beckham walked into the house, they wouldn't know him.
Hmm.
And the way they go on about it, like, I say, closing up the shops, the pubs heaving, no one on the road, you know, the day of the game, like, the place was just watching the game, watching Ireland as a whole nation together, willing for something to happen because there was people wearing an Ireland top with pride against other nations. And I don't see, you know, it's become so alien for us now because it's been so long since we actually qualified for something that it doesn't seem to be something that they can grasp, you know, nearly psychologically, that they can't grasp it enough to know what it'd mean to the nation. But it, from the evidence on Tuesday, you know, there were some people saying, like, oh, you know, you can't say that no, the effort wasn't there or something like that. I really disagree with that.
No, totally disagree.
I definitely don't see it. I thought, you know, I know we're sitting on the player shit list, but I thought Evan Ferguson actually worked quite hard. I know those times that you were disappointed with him, to say the least. He did actually burst himself to a degree in comparison to the other players. As I'm not saying that he burst himself enough, but he probably was the most bursted out of the starting of the 11 for Ireland on the pitch. But yeah, I think the midfield is the Ireland's massive problem. Josh Cullen, Jason Knight aren't able for it. And with that in mind, I would have expected maybe an extra player to be put in there. It doesn't seem to have been identified by the management team that that's where our problems lie.
I'm just looking at the bench from the other night. There's a lack of options there, clearly. And that's, again, I don't know why Malumbi's been excluded. Killian Phillips came on. That was the entirely wrong substitute. He's a defensive player. He's not going to come on and open up the Armenian team. That was entirely the wrong sub. But he's the only central midfielder on the bench.
Mm. I really don't understand Malumbi being left out. He must have been injured or something like that, because he couldn't have been worse than any other option. I know he scored a couple of goals early on this season for his club team. Maybe something else has happened there. But yeah. And then, you know, you look at the chances that were created in general. There was really very little worth talking about. There was no crosses into the box because Ireland's passing was so poor that they couldn't actually connect with players. It meant that two or three touches were required and an Armenian player was on top of them. The press was stupid. You know, Evan, you know, goes into press. Maybe Ida comes with him, but no one else does.
There was no press. There was no press. And yeah, that's been a huge thing under Heimer that I've noticed. It was a lot of the games were so passive. We do not go after teams.
No, we don't.
I can understand that maybe, because we were talking about this before the game. I said, I don't know how we're going to approach this game because, you know, it's very hot. It's humid.
Yeah.
You can't do it for 90 minutes. But like in Helsinki, most of the game, there was no press. Heimer's been lucky too. Bailed out by a late goal in Helsinki. We beat a shite Bulgaria team in a playoff.
Mm.
They were shite. He's had a lot of luck too. His record could be even worse than it is right now. We've fallen behind in 10 of the 11 games, I heard, since he took over.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because we don't go after teams. We sit back, we're passive, we let teams do what they want to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it is a huge problem. I think Paddy McKenna or whoever it is, who is it? The coach? Paddy
McCartney, yeah.
Yeah, he has to go. He has to go. John O'Shea the same. These two lads have to go. There's no question, doubt.
You know, O'Shea needs to go before Aymer goes. But Aymer needs to go too. He's done. There's no coming back from this. Finished. Finito.
Well,
start the search now. John Martin in. Get him in. Start the search. There's no coming back. But John O'Shea, his word cannot be mentioned once as a replacement. And he cannot be involved in the next coaching setup. He's been on the last several coaching setups.
Yeah, no, I know.
It cannot happen.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. I understand what you're saying. The point around Heimer, like, I'm not fully convinced that it's over for him. You might agree with that, certainly.
Totally disagree.
But that's okay. I think he needs to actually actively expel John O'Shea and Paddy, whatever, out of his setup. It's not working. So he needs to be, because the mindset, as you said, the passiveness, the idea that we can pass it around the back and we have 800 passes but losing 2-1, it's totally unacceptable behavior. Yeah. It's not tolerable, and it shouldn't be tolerated. So John O'Shea, without a shadow of a doubt, yeah, great servant as a player, cannot be allowed into the Aviva except as a fan, as a paying fan, going forward. He's finished. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no shite that can be said to me that will change my mind on that. Heimer needs, we need a complete brain transplant about how we play football at the senior level. This passiveness, this passing around, everything needs to go. I must have heard Ethan shout straight back to Kelleher the other night. He must have said it 100 times. this idea that this is okay is beyond me. And then just watching games just fade away into
nothing,
a loss, and into an oblivion is totally bizarre. But yeah, like one thing I will say, I was very happy for Caoimhín Kelleher, another good performance from him. He unfortunately is becoming our player of the match in most matches. He's kept the scoreline on Tuesday respectable, made some very good saves. And actually, there was a couple of times when Armenia were attacking that I was like, oh no, this will be fine because Kelleher's in goals.
Yeah.
I actually was confident that he would save it and bail us out again. And he did that on most occasions. He did that every time. He couldn't have done that for, you know, one was a penalty and one was a across the box tap in. That's nothing for him to solve.
Yeah.
I don't really know where we go from here. I do want to say one more thing. For anybody that listens to this podcast who is thinking about how academies are underfunded, and this is 20 years of underfunding and 20 years of mismanagement by the FAI and 20 years of this and that and the other, we could probably gather up a League of Ireland 11 to have beaten Armenia the other night.
Shamrock Rovers would have beaten Armenia the other night. They were a poor. Bulgaria is one of the worst teams I've seen us play outside of the complete minnows of Gibraltar and whoever else in recent years. They were way worse than Bulgaria.
Yeah, they're dire. And like, even if you look back at the game, the amount of times that they kicked the ball out straight out of play. It must have been 8 or 9 times in the first half between the keeper and other players for Armenia, straight out, and not even close to going to their intended target. Not even close.
Yeah.
But they had one thing that in spades that we did not have: pride and desire.
Because there's an article going around there, Balls have the article with the Irish fans applauding the Armenian players.
Yeah.
That was almost a rebuke of our lads as much as anything.
Oh, but
we saw everything in the Armenians that we wanted to see in our players. You know what, lads? You're not a great bunch of footballers, but ye died for your country out there.
Yeah. They actually bursted themselves.
Yeah.
Bursted themselves at every opportunity, no matter what it was, winning fouls, making blocks, making interceptions, dying for their team. And I didn't see one player in an Irish jersey the other night do anything remotely like that.
Bar Kelleher,
but like,
the only one, and I haven't seen this covered anywhere in the media. The media were probably set up miles away from the away end. The reaction to the Irish team at the end of the game on Tuesday, I would describe as been toxic.
I'd say it was totally correct.
Totally correct. We way too often we've let players off the hook, clapping, happy, clappy. You go back to it. You said the time we lost in Glasgow when Parrott missed the 1-on-1, Freed from Desire comes on, and everyone in the away end bouncing like we're after winning the World Cup. The other night, because the games before, like Athens, there was small sections of support that were kind of booing or whatever, and people were saying, don't be booing. The other night, the vast majority of people let the team exactly know what they thought of the performance. A lot of people just pointed to the tunnel as if to say, we don't want you down the tunnel, goodbye. And Heimir came over and put the hands up apologising, and that only engulfed people even more.
He only did that for 5 seconds.
He realised then, oh jeez, I better get out of here. But I just, that I haven't seen that covered anywhere. I've seen the whole thing about the supporters clapping the Armenian players. Kelleher came over, he got a massive applause. The rest of the players were all told where to go.
Yeah, they were.
I haven't seen that covered anywhere. I just wanted to bring that up for people that weren't there, just so they can understand how angry people were on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely visceral. Like, the I couldn't believe, one thing that did bother me was that the players stayed away. They should have come over to get the booing more directly into their face. That's what should have happened. But like they said, you know, 20 yards away inside the pitch from the corner flag, they should have been over, and, you know, they should have been hearing my voice. They should have been right beside where we were to hear the booing, because what went on, like, you know, it's easy, maybe, you know, fans that didn't travel, and you're watching it on the telly, because I've done both. I was there and I've watched it all back. You don't actually see, you see nothing when you're watching it on the telly.
It's the home pictures, like.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You know, like I would say, the lad not making the run, the lad not making the angle, the lad standing there, the lad missing the pass, the lad passing it back when a forward pass was well on. There was one in particular in the first half where Manning had it out on the left, and Josh Cullen surprisingly made a little dart that he went into probably 30 yards of space, and Manning couldn't play it into him. He passed it back to Collins. That's reset the whole thing again. So like, there's a lot of stuff that you don't see.
The third goal that was disallowed, and I don't know why it was disallowed. The Armenian
offside. It was like a gram offside. Yeah,
we totally stopped. We totally gave up.
Mm.
Completely down tools and give up.
Yeah, yeah. There's no other way to describe it. Like there was no like, shite, we're after getting out of jail here, right? Let's get really out of jail and get another.
Mm.
There was no feeling that was ever going to happen, and the game just passes by. As regards what happens next, I do want to, I know I've said it already, but this, the idea that, you know, we haven't developed a player in, even though we've developed plenty of players down through the years, even with our shit academy set up and underfunded, this and that and the other, that's a problem for when we get stuffed by England or stuffed by Portugal or Spain or Germany. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a problem, as we said already. I think I said it to one of the lads after the game. We probably could have got a heap of GA players to bait them the other night. That's how poor Armenia are. So there's something else that's crept into the Ireland setup and the Ireland national team, where passiveness, no urgency, lack, you know, all of this stuff is crept into the psyche of these players when they put on an Ireland jersey.
Yeah.
It's really sad is what it is, because what we're looking at now is the next competitive game probably happening in 2027. You know, we've four friendlies this year, two friendlies in March, probably won't play any friend. Oh, we probably will play a friendly, you know, prep game for another team.
Oh yeah.
In June. And then, you know, everybody out onto the sunbeds out in Torremolinos or something like that, and you know, have a few cocktails and follow the games on our phones, and that's what our lot is going to be. As regards, you know, this, I do would like to see, and I actually, you may remember, I did, and I kind of got what I thought I got. I want an absolute dinosaur.
Yeah.
A lad that has, you know, never did a coaching course. You know, got a, I think, wasn't it famously, what's your man, the lad he managed Real Madrid for years? What's his name?
That went on to be the Spain manager.
No, he managed Everton and loads of teams.
Oh, Ancelotti.
Ancelotti, yeah. Didn't he get a dispensation for not having...
He did, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's who I want. I want a lad so old that like there was barely pen and paper when he was growing up. Because what we have turned into is a team that, in my estimation, totally defined by stats, where what we can see with our own two eyes is a lack of passion and desire. And that's an intangible that can't be managed through a GPS tracker in a bra that the players are wearing. That's not achievable, right? Like, if you look back on like some of the great, you know, David and Goliath performances and David and Goliath wins or results that we had. You know, you look back at John O'Shea, he was the lad that equalized out in Gelsenkirchen against Germany.
Yeah.
In 2014. You know, what stat was that that told him to go be up there to put that ball beyond Neuer in the goal? There was no stat. There was no stat that told him to do that. There was no stat for Wes Hoolan to pick himself up after that miss against Italy in the Euros that I'm going to put in this ball, and Robbie Brady that he, who had a very good chance of being absolutely mown down by the keeper, but he still got in and headed that ball into the net. There's none of those stats. There isn't a stat on the planet that will tell you anything about that story. But what does tell you about that is desire and pride and mettle and guts that is totally devoid of this Irish team. Well, all that said, I do believe that we have the quality, and we definitely 100% have the quality to be beating an Armenian team. I know there's a lot of shy talk about Darren Maloney mentioning the FIFA rankings the other night, and by Jesus, he mentioned it a heap of times on commentary. But the quality of players that we do have, and I do believe there's quality in the team, they should be just putting Armenia to the side as if they were nothing. Respect them, yes. But this was a team that got the shite kicked out of them on Saturday night, and we let them dominate us as if they were Portugal themselves. I would like to see John O'Shea gone, Paddy McCarthy gone, and get in.
We said that from day one when Jaime was announced, and it was announced that he wasn't bringing his own people. That was never going to work. Never, ever going to work. Yeah. Because it seems like he has a lack of control over the team, because he came in and one of the first things he done was exclude Matt Doherty. And everyone said, Lord Jesus, hurrah.
Mm.
At last. And then he goes back on a while later.
Yeah, no, it's... I don't know how it happens. You know, and even like to say Robbie Brady...
There seems to be a pally cliche about this team at times.
Yeah, well, it took the words out of my mouth. Like Robbie Brady, I know he was playing well and he's got the goal against Finland or whatever, but he shouldn't be on the team. Yeah, it's just playing.
I think I have to review my stance on that, because look how poor our fullbacks are. Look at Doherty, look at Manning.
Yeah, but that brings me neatly on to the absolute ass load of humble pie I need to eat right now. I've been bleating on that Josh Honohan shouldn't have been in the starting 11 or in the squad. But I have to hold my hand up there. He would have been far better, and I think more committed and had more desire and hunger than Matt Doherty or Ryan Manning in the last two games.
Mm.
I think he would have done 1,000 times the job. And I think if he thought that he was having a poor game, or, you know, let a couple of things go by him, he would have nailed a few lads and put them on the back foot. You're right, you got by me once, but now I'm putting you into row Z and you're not going to get by me the next time. Whereas Ryan Manning, as I said, watched that cross go in, lost the ball, went, did a bit of fannying around, lost the ball, a ball is chucked in, and Collins gives away the penalty. One final piece. I actually don't know what it is. I think I'm very sad. Yeah. I'm angry, but I'm also very sad that we've an almost impossible task to get into a playoff next year. And that's another opportunity lost for this set of players and the nation itself. You know, we have a very long time to look forward to a World Cup, which is an expanded World Cup, you know, 48 teams, and we still can't get into it.
Or next or near it.
It's just not good enough. And one thing I definitely felt, I don't think there's enough sorry in the players. I don't think they're like, you know, if I was a part of that squad, I probably wouldn't sleep for a month. Like, I'd be calling into my own club team as like, sorry lads, I'm actually physically unable to play for the club at the minute. Like that's what we're talking about here. Like, they've given up the pinnacle of the game, playing the World Cup for your country. Like, something like, you know, it's 2002 is a long time ago, but I was well alive for it, and I remember watching every game. But like, that's so far in the distance. You know, it's unbelievable. And I can't see, you know, what shape we'll be in or what state we'll be in when it comes around to trying to qualify for 2030. It's just sad.
Yeah, I'm just heartbroken, because like, we should have two great trips coming up now, Lisbon and Budapest, two great cities, two games that we would be going into not expecting a whole pile out of, but trying. You know, if we put them
under pressure, maybe nick a draw, maybe nick a win.
Yeah.
You know, next thing you know, you know, Malumbi shows up with a 40-yard screamer against Portugal, and he's there roaring into the face of Ronaldo out in Lisbon.
Mm.
Why is that not possible? Like, you look at small teams around Europe playing big teams, and actually they nick a point off someone here, or, you know, something else happens over there. We can't even do that.
Yeah,
that's how far we're away.
Yeah, we have two friendlies coming up now.
Away from home, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd hate to see what number of people are going to be going into the next couple of games in the Aviva.
That's the Armenia game. You won't get 20,000 in there.
Yeah, Yeah.
And that's another sad thing, because Saturday was great. Saturday was brilliant. Went up early, had a couple of pints.
Yeah.
Was very nervous for the game, but the atmosphere was brilliant. And you're thinking, geez, why can't I be like this all the time? Now we're going back to half empty Avivas.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Just pure torture. Having to drag yourself up, finish work early, drag yourself up to Dublin of a Tuesday night to watch us probably lose to Armenia.
Aye. After Heimer begging us for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not what he had to do. And he's like, you know, give your ticket to a deserving fan if you can't go. You know, like all of that stuff. Like, totally agree. You know, I was all for it. I totally was like, yeah, this is what we have to do. This is how we have to get through this together as a nation and as a footballing fans following our country around the place. Yeah, it was just not good. What did you think of Yerevan anyway?
Yerevan was a lovely city, lovely people, very, very friendly, very, very cheap. A brilliant trip ruined by the football, but what's new? Mm. Well used to that now.
Yeah. Travelling was tough.
Travelling was tough, yeah.
I nearly didn't know whether it was coming or going when I got
So, like, out of the 4 days that we were travelling, we probably slept for one. We left Dublin 6 o'clock Sunday evening into Rome 10 o'clock. We left the airport and found a wee village about 5-10 minutes away by taxi, had a few pints there. Locals didn't know what was going on. Then back into the airport, barely open. Got the flight 6 o'clock into Yerevan, landed into Yerevan about midday or something. I think we slept for 2 hours, said we better not sleep for any longer or we'll be just goosed. Got up, had a bit of a feed, out till about 2 a.m. in Yerevan, slept till 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. Got up, went and used the facilities in a few of the lads' more luxurious hotel with a pool, few pints there, nothing too heavy because we had a 6 a.m. flight after the game. So literally went back to the hotel, picked up the bag, straight to the airport, flew to Istanbul to Dublin. And here we are.
Yeah.
So that's what most people, a lot of people went Rome, but no direct flights. Everyone went the torturous way to get there. And that's what we were served up with.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's tough. One final thing. I know that the a couple of headlines out there about Heimer and taking ownership of it or not being too hard on the players or
yeah,
what was it?
I'll get you the headline now. I sent it into the group chat earlier on. So Dan McDonald tweeted earlier, Heimir Hallgrimsson has called on Ireland fans to support the players instead of turning on them after the Armenian defeat. Assessing what to do as regards Heimir's future will be one of the jobs for John Martin, whose arrival is imminent. He has since been announced. But that was the headline there.
Mm. I think... What do you think? What does he think we were doing on Saturday or Friday? Or Tuesday even.
Hmm.
You know, I didn't go over...
700 of us out there.
Yeah, I didn't go over there to boo the players.
No.
I ended up doing that. and I've no problem saying that either. I know a lot of people were clapping that shite. Like, I hate this phrase, but like, you're part of the problem, really.
The players have an incredibly easy time here in Ireland compared to I know England fans aren't a great example of, you know... how to support a team or whatever, but like there would have been blood spilled Tuesday if that was another nation. Like,
yeah, completely. Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't know if I feel better after speaking about it, like in that detail. Like, all I've been doing is like playing incidents and conversations over and over in my head. You know, it's really sad to see, you know, players that or fans that have been starved of any success for such a long time.
Mm. Like I had Euro 16. I went to Euro 16, got to all the games.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might be lucky. That might be the only major tournament experience. Euro 2028 won't count because we're going to qualify automatically. I don't know how excited I am to go up to Dublin and watch, you know, pay €9 for a pint probably by then.
Yeah, no, I don't
care.
It's not the same as going to
France or wherever. So I might be lucky. I might be an 8-year-old man and saying, geez, at least I was in France. Like, the current generation coming up have seen nothing but pain.
No, nothing. And it goes to show how well the team are backed. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that were you know, have first or second away game. Wanted to do something like Armenia because of how hard it was to get to, you know, like I'd knock a bit of crack out of it. Like we met a couple of lads we've never seen before. Went into the pub in Rome, had a bit of crack, talk shite, and seen them again. But you know, you're just that's what it's all about. You know, it's great to meet fans and stuff like that along the way, but.
Everyone's out there with the best of intentions. There's no one there to get on the players' back.
No,
and historically, it has never happened.
No, it hasn't really.
And I made the point. What game was it in Dublin where Doherty was loudly booed? Even me up in the top tier, which is quite family orientated, loudly booed. I cannot remember that happening to an Irish player before. So. Roy Keane said it himself. He made comments there today. He said some of the arrogance of some of these players who have achieved nothing in the game and they're going around like they're God's gift.
Yeah, no, I don't dispute that. But this is different. Like, and I know you mentioned that Roy Keane comments in whatever Sky Sports program it is. Yeah, and I actually went to watch him. This is nothing to do. Like this is where it's the same shite with the academies. Remember who we're playing, right? There's no academy system in Armenia, right? And even if it has been funded 20 times more than what Ireland has, they're a bad team with bad players, right? Let's be honest about it, right? The time for academy talk and funding about academies, that's where, as I said, when we get bet the shit out by England or France or Germany or Spain. That's when you talk about academies and developing players. There are people that I know personally, right, that would be make, and I'm not talking about a League of Ireland player either. I'm just talking about lads that I know would have been able to make a better contribution to the game than what we saw on Tuesday night. So Roy Keane was going on about Houghton and Whelan and all these players, and I broke into the team at 19 and it was this and it was that. That's all true. But this is Armenia we're playing. This is nothing to do with anything. Nothing to do with anything about top level players. Like, right, my ultimate point, like, there's no one playing for Man United. I don't give a shit where they're playing. I know that there's better quality than in that entire squad than there is in the Armenian squad. But what it comes down to is something, as I said before, that can't be marked in a stat. So your man or the bollocks is going around with laptops and spreadsheets and iPads and all of this shite. And GPSs, they do, you know, it's exactly what Charles Barkley said about it. You didn't get the girls in high school and we weren't in the game. So you got involved in stats to be a part of it. You've nothing to contribute to it. This team doesn't have the desire or will or guts. They don't want to do the extra 2 yards to make that block. They don't want to die for the 3 points. And it's going to cost themselves, more importantly, than the fans, because they'll have a World Cup to live on or remember for the rest of their lives, that they got to represent their country at the highest level of their profession. Like, it's an unbelievable feeling. I can't even describe what a feeling that might be like. And then they've given up one of the biggest opportunities to do that. And we're sitting here in September of 2025 saying that.
Last thing before we wrap this up, and this hasn't made me, I thought this would make me feel a lot better, and it actually hasn't. I feel terrible. You're not fully sold on the idea that Heimer should be chopped. I think there's no way back. But if he is to leave at the end of the campaign, right, he's not going to get sacked because we can't afford to do it, and he's not going to walk away from the money. And I wouldn't walk out of a job if there was money on the table. Let's face it, that's the way the game is now. If he does leave in November, where are we going? A lot of talk about Bradley, about Duff. Where are we going?
The first thing I would do is I would ring up Neil Warnock and I'd say, would you help out Ireland for a year? Or Sam Allardyce. People talked about that before and, you know, rubbished it away. We need to restore our mentality and our desire before we do anything on a football pitch.
Yeah.
I'd even see if what, I'd even try and find out what Martin O'Neill is doing. There is no, you know, nothing. There's nothing about this team. I think we need a mentality change, not of style of football or, you know, philosophy in football, or we need to, you know, everything. Cueven Keller needs to touch the ball before every attack type mentality. All of that has to be done away with. But before that can happen, we need someone in the team. We need a manager in the team that can actually instill pride, instill desire, instill win at all costs type of mentality into the team. I haven't seen that from Heimer, even though I still think he could do it. I never really saw that from Stephen Kenny. I would don't think Duff is what we need right now. I would prefer someone like Sam Allardyce, or, and I know that's terrible. I know that's terrible. But this is where we are at the moment, because it's not football that's the problem, apart from like lots of quality issues within the team. I'm just saying I just don't see the desire and mettle that's required when you're putting on your Ireland jersey.
In that regard, though, isn't the most obvious candidate Roy Keane?
Not at all. I think he's too happy shiting on from the sidelines, and, you know, Sky Sports clipping up his comments and putting them on Twitter. I think that's, he enjoys that far too much. And I don't think that he'd be, I don't believe that he'd be able to commit to it in the way that we'd need him to. So, and I think the same with Duffer. And I know someone mentioned, I think some airport we were in, someone mentioned Duffer, and I was like, he walked out on his team a week before probably the biggest week of their season. So that's him finished in my head for at least 3 years. So someone that can get pride, desire, winning badly, being defensively strong, you know, that means that we have to go back to basics. And you said it at the start.
Yeah.
We've lost our identity as a team that doesn't have all the quality but can still achieve stuff. That is going to competitions, getting points off the bigger teams, and then making shite of teams that are below us. Martin O'Neill was relatively competent at doing that. You know, we got some great results against Germany, obviously famously Shane Long and John O'Shea scoring the goals. But we do not need any manager that has a philosophy. Playing like this or playing like that, all of that, we've tried it. We've tried it. Yeah. It does not work. Sounds good, doesn't work, as Donald Trump says. What does work is players that are going to die for it. And I think there is elements of that team that are there now that will die for it. Matt Doherty is not one of them. Like of Evan Ferguson will die for it. I think Adam Mead is another one in particular, two players in particular that I can see will absolutely put their bones through the skin for the team. But they can't do it by themselves. They need 11 players around them to do it. And to get something like that into the Irish national team, we need a change in how they're coached and managed. Now, as I said, I think Heimer can still do that, but he is been totally hamstrung by the like of John O'Shea and that your man, Paddy, whatever, and their tablets and their stats and their training drills and all this other shit. That's not what we need here. We need a total brain transplant. And to do that, I think we need to start at the very basic, which means going back to what a lot of people regard as a dinosaur.
Yeah. But, well, that's what I want. I want a dinosaur on the touchline. Yeah. Right. Look, I think we'll wrap it up there. That was a bit longer than expected, but there was a lot to get off the chest. Obviously, there's league and cup games coming up this weekend. We will cover them on next week's pod. We'll be back to our usual format. But that was an emergency pod. And like all of our pods, it was brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound lighting and AV solutions. But from a very, very angry Kieran Burke and a very disappointed Gary Riley, thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.